So let's imagine for a moment that this story went a different way, and that last little piece went slightly differently. So we have these wise ones, wise folk, wise men, but it's a plural masculine. So it could be women mixed in there too, and there could be more than three. We have no idea. They brought three gifts. Could have been two of them, could have been 20 of them, could have been a whole delegation. We don't know how many people there were. But they observed some sort of sign that a new king had been born in Israel. So they decide, well, we got to make nice with the neighbors. It's a good thing to do. So they pack up their caravan of folks, of well-wishers, and they set off for Jerusalem. And they come to the palace and they say, hey, congratulations. We hear there's a new prince in the family. We're really excited. We'd love to pay him homage. And I can't move my arm. We'd love to pay him homage. And Herod says, wait a second here. I didn't realize that there was a new king that was born. I thought I was king. And so the wise folks say, oh, well, you know, well, we got to go find him. We'll look and see where we think he's going to be. And Herod says, all right, well, tell you what. When you find this prince, whoever it is, let me know where he is so I can go and show my respects to him as well. And, you know, I'm just going to stand here where I'm less tempted to move. So that I can go and show my respects to him as well. And you know, say congrats. But of course, that's not what Herod has in mind. What Herod has in mind is getting rid of the competition for himself and for his sons who will rule after him. So he plans, of course, to find the infant, whoever this usurper is, and have him killed so that he's no longer a threat to the succession of Herod's line as king of the Jews. So let's imagine that these wise folks, maybe being a little less wise, show up and they see baby Jesus and his mother, and that's all that's mentioned, but, you know, whoever else is there, and they pay their respects and they offer their gold and frankincense and myrrh, and then they, you know, they don't listen to any strange dreams or warnings, and they don't really feel that different than they felt before. And they think to themselves, well, you know, not only should we honor the future king, but it's probably good not to make the current one too mad either, so let's do what he said, and let's go back by the same road that we took, back to Jerusalem, and let Herod know where this baby is so he can come and pay his respects to him as well. And they do that. And they return home to the same place that they were before, by the same road that they had traveled, and for them, nothing has changed. And for the world, nothing has changed, because the presence of God came into the world, but didn't last long enough to make much a difference. A light was kindled in the human spirit and in the life of the world, but it was snuffed out before anything came of it. Of course, that's not what happens in the story. The Magi have instead an epiphany, which one of the definitions is a sudden insight, a sudden realization, a sudden inspiration, understanding, perception, an aha moment. We might call it a watershed, a crossroads. One of those moments from which life will never be the same. Sometimes we recognize them, sometimes we don't. I don't know if the Magi had any sense, aside from a dream that they heeded without really knowing why. I don't know that they had any sense of the importance of the crossroads at which they stood when they chose to return home by a different road. Sometimes we don't know that we're standing at a crossroads, that we're in the midst of an aha moment until long after. We may never know. But there are those moments from which point life is never the same again. A birth, a death, meeting a person who will one day become a dear friend or loved one, saying goodbye, moving away, moving in, starting over. All these moments that come and go, beginnings and endings, changes and choices that we make. And the question for us, this Epiphany Sunday, is encountering Christ one of those moments for us? Do we take this Christmas season, this Christmas time, and this beginning of a new year as a crossroads, as an opportunity to stand and to choose where we will go from here, to take a different road, to walk away changed, Or do we just kind of do what we've always done? We just kind of come and go, observe the birth of Christ, and then go back to what we were doing. Come to church and then return back to our routine and not let it change us. Not let it make a difference. Not let it set us on a new path. Do we go about life as usual? And in so doing, not let the birth of Christ take meaning, take root in us. Not let the light that has come into the world grow into an enormous beacon, but let it be snuffed out in us before anything really comes of it. Perhaps a more mundane example. I grew up in a time and a place where I understood that the earth was special, was sacred in a way, and that it was in danger. There was some fragility to that sacredness and that specialness that is the earth, and it needed our help. It needed our protection. I grew up in a time where, you know, hairspray cans were a very real and present danger because of the little chemicals in them and the CFCs and stuff, and it hurt the ozone layer. I didn't really understand much of it because I was barely old enough to use hairspray at the time, but I still don't use hairspray, so, you know, it doesn't really make much of a difference to me, but, you know, but these things were very, very real and very important. Some people today need to be convinced that, you know, that we need to take care of the world around us, that we need to take care of the environment, that there's something important about that, that it's in any danger whatsoever. But I grew up just knowing that that was true. And, you know, recycling was always part of school, and, you know, there's the bin right next to the lunch tray for all the cartons and stuff. It was always part of the world in which I grew up. But in seminary, something happened. I encountered some ideas that wove together theology that I already held very deeply, and ecology, and stewardship of the earth, not dominion over the earth as some translations of Genesis hold, but stewardship of the earth, care of the earth, and wove those together in a kind of eco-theology that taught that the earth as God's creation is sacred. And the care of it, the stewardship of it, is a sacred duty, is a spiritual discipline. And that was a crossroads. That was an aha moment, an epiphany, a change. And the way I know it was a change is that my behavior after that changed. Recycling became not just something I always did, I always recycled, but became almost a spiritual thing. Changing a light bulb became almost an act of worship. Making decisions, it suddenly wasn't just as easy to make the same decision over and over, but I would stop and ask myself, hey, you know, is this really good for God's earth? Is this honoring the sacredness of what God has given us? When I go somewhere and in what vehicle I go somewhere and when I purchase something or choose a food that might have been shipped from countries away or whatever it is this good? Is this what I'm called to do? Is this showing reverence for God's earth? Kind of a relatively simple example, but the way I know it was a crossroads, the way I know it made a difference was that my behavior changed. I went down a different road, a different path. Sometimes literally, a shorter path, or on foot, or whatever. But it changed the routines and the patterns and the behaviors of my life. That's the question. Is our encounter with Christ one that changes the way we go about our lives? Is it one that shakes up our routines, that makes us ask new questions when we go someplace, when we interact with someone, when we go about our lives? Are we asking ourselves, is this giving reverence to God? Is this honoring Christ in my life, in the life of the world? Is this something that I'm called to do and called to be, and how I am called to live in this place and in this world? The way we know that we've had an epiphany, the way we know that we have encountered God, the way the Magi encountered Christ in Bethlehem, the way we know that is that we are changed. And we are set on a new road. Now, that's not always comfortable. And it's not always fun. And there are glitches when we make changes. Right? And sometimes the microphone wire gets all crickly. And sometimes we don't know where we're going to sit. And we don't know exactly how things are going to work out. So we need to kind of prepare ourselves by getting used to change. This is my perspective, because I don't really like change, so I think sometimes if I immerse myself in it, I might, you know, it's like pulling a Band-Aid off. I'll get better at it or something. Do it all at once. So my sort of takeaway for you today is to try something different. Now, you've already got 1 point, because we're worshiping in a different space, so congratulations. There's step one. But try something else different. Leave by a different door. You always go out the back door, go out the front door. You always go, you know, go out the front door, go out the back, whatever it is. Take a different route home. Or you always have the same thing for Sunday dinner or with the same people. Try something different. Go to somebody else's house or have some quiet time by yourself. Not because there's anything that's inherently sacred about any one of those choices, but just to get used to choosing a different path. So that when we do recognize that we're standing at a crossroads, we're standing at a watershed, we're standing at an aha moment, and we have a choice, we'll be ready. We'll be ready to choose to let the encounter with God change us and call us to a different place and a different journey. We'll be ready to let the light that has come into the world make a difference in us, in the life of the world, and in life as we know it, and not snuff it out before we've even given it that chance. We'll be ready to return, maybe, to where we came from, but by a different road. Amen.